So good morning. Today, our Heavenly Father, the Lord God Jehovah, has a gift for all of those who love Him with all their hearts, with all their soul, and with all their mind. It is the gift of His Sabbath rest. His gift of the Sabbath rest. Listen to this morning's scripture as the foundation on which he speaks to us. And it comes from Hebrews 4, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just like they did. But the message was heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God had said. So I declare, this is the Lord speaking, so I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his words have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in, because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about that day, another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Amen. Once again, we ask the Holy Spirit to add to our understanding as we think on these things. Did you have a good night's sleep last night? Simple question. There's nothing like a good night's sleep, is there? That's an incredible barometer. The medical staff over there will tell you that. A good night's sleep. You know, when you feel so tired and weary and all you want to do is go to your bed. Your eyes are burning, your legs feel as heavy as lead, and your feet are throbbing. You get into bed and you can't remember, hopefully, what happens for the next 7 or 8 hours. What do you reckon, JJ? Sound like a good night? That would be a good night. But when you wake up, you feel refreshed and restored. God willing, every morning when I go out and I walk my staffy bull terrier up Green Meadow Lane and those magnificent trees there and the horses are in the fields, I say, Heavenly Father, thank you for restoring me. I did nothing. I could do nothing. I was lying there, half comatose, waking up thinking, oh, no, and he restored me. Isn't that wonderful? Gone are the aches and pains, hopefully, and the irritableness. As a new day dawns, your batteries are recharged and you're ready to go again, if you're well. But if you don't get a good night's sleep, have you noticed how you carry your aches and pains and worries into the next day with you. They say that the sleep of the innocent is the best sleep. And I've got to agree with that, the sleep of the innocent. Well, that's a lot of you out the question, isn't it, right away? It's the children. Have you ever seen how some of them, I mean, we were talking about Georgie earlier on. Sometimes Shoba walks in, and you think he had a sack of spuds under his arm. You know, she just flops, doesn't she? Eh? And the sleep of the innocent children. I remember my son Stephen, as he got into being even a youngish teenager, he used to have this heavy rock and roll or some kind of music that nobody could understand, but it was boom, boom, boom. And you'd go in, fast asleep, sleep of the innocent. Why is it that children tend to sleep better than adults? Is it because they are innocent of stress, worry, and guilt? Perhaps. We as parents, on the other hand, if you've had teenage children, you'll know that they can keep you awake at night with worry, just worrying where they are. But then again, business, finances, or health worries can cause us to wake up in the middle of the night, and so the night is a long night and preventing us from having a good night's sleep. Recently, I've had ups and downs with illnesses and business stress. And on one such night, I was lying there, I was praying, and I get words from the Lord. And the word that came to me was, I am who I am. And what was so odd about it is, I am is the name of God. But he gave me the message that I can say this about myself. When I'm getting down, when I'm getting under pressure, he wants me to say, I am who I am. I come to realize, as we invite Jesus Christ into our life and the Holy Spirit, I am is within, in my very essence. And so, when I go through a heart bypass or a prostate operation or business concerns, I can stand or lie and I can say, I am who I am. The word of the Lord. And so as we toss and turn, and perhaps we take sleeping pills or alcohol to help us sleep, but wouldn't we all prefer to enjoy the sleep of the innocent? Over the years, I've come to appreciate sleep and the renewal of my body's energy level as my daily reminder of God's miraculous control in my life. A reminder, firstly, that I'm not in control. In fact, daily, I have a limited amount of life in me. But secondly, I've come to trust God that although I lay down wearily, I will awake refreshed. Now, I may have told this story before, but I can't resist it. I often think of that old hymn, New Every Morning Is Your Love. It's an old, old hymn. But at my boys' school, it was a secondary modern trade school. And just after the war, Mrs. Jones, who must have been 50-odd if she was a day, and she wore the same frock, I think, for the 6 years that I went to that school. It was ironed. But, I mean, I think even the print on it was getting ironed off. It was so wishy-washy. Mrs. Jones used to lead worship in the school hall at assembly of boys, straight out from after the war, the baby boomers. And she could hit a piano, an upright piano, like a karate master. I could never imagine her doing anything gently. And she had one song on a Monday, every Monday, every hymn, every Monday. Come along, boys, let's all sing together, New Every Morning. And we used to go, oh. But do you know, every morning when I walk up that lane with that staffy dog of mine, and I'm 79 now, I sing, New every morning is your love, awaking and uprising proof. through sleep and darkness safely brought, restored to life and power of thought. And I say, thank you, Mrs. Jones. I hope you got a new frock when I see you in heaven. Thirdly, I'm convinced God is showing us what it'll be like when we die. We act like children who don't want to go to sleep. We're frightened of missing something, or we're afraid of the dark. Therefore, I believe God shows us how he remains in control even when we are not in control. He is showing us that death will be just like a good night's sleep. Amen? Amen again? Amen. Amen. And yet, time and again in Scripture, God's people and God's own Son Jesus tell us that when we pass through our physical death, we'll wake up and then pass through into either eternal spiritual death or eternal spiritual life. That's a fact. There's no beating about the bush. It's going to be one or the other. This eternal spiritual life is what the writer in Hebrews calls the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest. Now, I want you to get this morning, as difficult as it is to listen to a Liverpudlian speak. It's not the same thing as the Sabbath day. The Sabbath rest is eternal. God made everything on the seventh day, he looked at everything that he created and he said it is good, and he rested, and he then gave us a gift. I want you to remember the Sabbath day. Now, we remember it perhaps as a Sunday, but it was the eternal rest that he took, the eternal rest that he offers us as a gift, which is the Sabbath rest. In chapter 4, verse 1 of Paul's letter to the Hebrews, he reminds us, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. What rest is Paul talking about? It is the eternal rest described in Revelation 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. St. Paul reminds the Hebrews that just like themselves, the Jews before them had the gospel of Jesus and God's salvation preached to them. But it had no value to many because they did not combine the gospel with faith and their faith with obedience. As in Hebrews 6 verse 7, where Paul gives the analogy of people who hear the gospel, of being like two different fields upon which good rains fall. The one field produced a good crop, whilst the others produced weeds and thorns. Good rain fell. Some produced a good result, others didn't. We're told, for us to enter into eternal rest, we must combine our faith with our understanding of the gospel. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ, God's gift of grace to free us from all of our sins and mistakes. Through that faith, we shall enter into God's rest, everlasting rest, a rest to be likened to God's Sabbath day rest when he rested from all his labors because he had completed everything. However, often we continue to toil because of our disobedience. We've moved out from his wholeness, from his fullness. We will only be complete work of creation when we ask Jesus into our lives and have faith that his way is much better than our way. His gift of the Holy Spirit as our guide and comforter is real, is real. The Holy Spirit is not just some invisible somebody. The Holy Spirit is real. And then and only then is His Word complete in us. Then we will be restored and brought back into God's Sabbath day of rest. The whole of creation was brought into perfection on that day. Regretfully, mankind left the perfection on that day of rest when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. We can only return to that day of Sabbath rest through Jesus, who is the way. We are told in Hebrews, therefore, to this end, God set aside a certain day called today. When through King David he said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Listen to God's word for you today, and do not harden your hearts, as found in Matthew 13, verse 1 to 9. And it's the story of the farmer who went out to sow the good seed on his land, but some seed fell on the well walked upon by humanity hardened path. Have you been well walked upon by humanity? Maybe your heart is hardened. And the birds came and ate the good seed. And then some seed fell on the rocky ground where the soil was shallow, and therefore there was shallow commitment. The word was absorbed, but the commitment was shallow. When the testing time came up, the fruit and the crop shriveled up because of the shallow roots of the Word of God. Some seed, however, fell amongst thorny ground. The soil was good. And this is like the man who receives the Word of God, takes that Word deep into his heart, but he can't let go of his old life. He wants to keep all his options open. Been there. I've been there. We hedge our bets. What if? Is it real? All of these things. That's why I've come to understand why the Lord humbles me, why He humbles you, why we get older with illnesses and aches and pains. By being humble before the Lord, we let go of these other things, and we have to have the thorns cleared out, because God loves us so much. He wants us. He wants us. And He can only accept the purity of a humbled heart. We're told that God saw all that He'd done and it was very good. God had finished His work, so He rested, and God blessed the seventh day. It was Jesus who reminded us in Mark 2, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That leads into a whole other sermon for another day, about how mankind can hang their rules and regulations onto something that was pure. Even Jesus had to say, when chided about his disciples doing something on the Sabbath, would you not rescue a donkey if it fell into a well on the Sabbath? The essence of God is love, 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 love. It covers a multitude of sins. The essence of Jesus Christ is grace, 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 the forgiveness of sins. It was and is our day of rest. It was a gift from God. This is a gift from God. You are here on the Sabbath day to receive the gift. Not what you bring, it's what God brings. It's the gift of the Sabbath rest. These moments when you feel healed and cleansed and you feel good, that's the presence of the Holy Spirit touching you. You're still a rough diamond. God has found you, and He's found you with His light. He sees what a lovely diamond you are. But He's hauled you out of your life, and there's still ugly bits. So it takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime of polishing and polishing to bring you to what you can be, the beautiful soul that He can see. First reference to the Sabbath day, the day of rest in paradise, was in the Garden of Eden, was Exodus 16:23, when God once again showed his provision for that rest. And whilst in the wilderness, God sent manna from heaven, bread from heaven each morning. And God instructed the Israelites to collect only enough manna for each day. Some were disobedient and hoarded more, not trusting God for his daily provision. But the hoarded manna went rotten. Likewise, God instructed the Israelites to collect 2 days' worth of manna on the sixth day, and it would not spoil, so they could finish all the work of gathering and cooking before the Sabbath, day of rest. Some people didn't believe God and went on to the Sabbath, out on the Sabbath to collect manna. They didn't collect two on the sixth day, but said, "Oh no, it'll be there," and they went out. It reminds me of something in our recent past, or in my recent past, maybe not so much yours. Used to be in South Africa that all shops, or most 99% shops, closed on the Sabbath day. Some bright spark thought, you know what? If I open my shop or my mall on a Sunday, I'm going to get 1/7 more business than all the rest of them. So he employed people, probably maybe on overtime, to work on the Sabbath. But hello, everybody else opened on the Sabbath. So the same that he was getting on 6 days, he's now getting on 7, but he's paying for 7. What sense is that? What sense is that? You talk about, you know, faith and belief, but what common sense is that? Couldn't wait, do enough in 6 days and rest on the Sabbath. Let's open the mall on the seventh. Hebrews 4, verse 9 tells us, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God rested from his work. Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest so that none of us will fall by being disobedient. God's Sabbath day rest is a beautiful day of appreciation for all that God has created for us. That's what the Sabbath day is. It's a day he's set aside for us to rest with him and with his goodness. It is a day to be spent appreciating all that God has created for us. But most important, it's a day for us to be restored into his likeness again. Amen? Where's the smiles? If it's so good, how can you all look like you're sucking lemons? Jesus said, come to me, Jesus said. All you are weary and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. There's an awful lot of you look weary and heavily laden, I want to tell you. And I'm not a psychiatrist. Come to me, Jesus said. Come to me if you're weary and heavily laden. And I will give you rest. That beautiful day of has arrived, and it's called today. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Jesus is calling you today. He's calling you today. Come to me. Come to me. All you have to do is say, Jesus, please come into my life. And my dear, dear, loved of God friend, Jesus will come into your life. The Holy Spirit will come into your life. And you will receive his ministry. You will become a child of the living God. And you will hear him when he speaks. You will want to be obedient to his word. You will become a better, beautiful person. And once again, God will look at you and say, oh, she is so good. She is so good. He is good. Hey, I told you you'd make it. Welcome. Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.